Hey, church family, welcome to Church News. My name is Caleb, and this is Ava, and we're so glad you can make it to church today. Ava, what do we have coming up?
The first thing we have is Growth Track. Growth Track helps you discover the ins and outs of the church. It learns about your God-given gifts and how you can use them, and it gives you the opportunity to say yes to becoming a member of Only Believe. Growth Track happens every first Sunday of the month, right after service, and there's lunch and childcare provided. If you would like to sign up, you can head out to the Welcome Center and they will get you taken care of there, or you can scan the QR code on the screen.
Have you decided to follow Jesus and are wondering what your next steps are? Well, your next step is water baptism. Water baptism is a way that you show that you have committed to following Jesus. It's an outward expression of an inward change. This is why the Bible tells us that it's through baptism that we are participating in the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. If you are a follower of Jesus and you have not been baptized, we highly encourage you to do so. For more information, or if you would like to sign up, please visit the Welcome Center in the lobby.
And then we have First Saturday Prayer. Here at Only Believe, we believe in the power of prayer. First Saturday Prayer is where we gather together at the beginning of each month and pray for what the Lord wants to do in us and through us for the coming month. In this 1 hour prayer service, there is worship and there is an encouraging word, personal prayer, and corporate prayer. We would love to see you there each month for First Saturday Prayer.
Here at Only Believe, we believe that strong marriages are the backbone of healthy families, and healthy families are the backbone of a healthy church. This is why we have a small group called Marriage Is Us. Marriage Is Us is a small group designed for couples of all ages who are looking for ways to strengthen their marriage. This small group meets on the second Sunday of every month at 9 a.m. in the loft. For more information, please visit the Welcome Center in the lobby.
Yes, and then we have a healing night that will take place on March 16th at 6 p.m. You can come expecting miracles as we gather together in hope and in unity. But don't wait to pray and use your faith. You can join us now as we begin praying for this healing night and the miracles that will take place. Again, this is going to be March 16th at 6 p.m.
Today, we're kicking off a brand new series called Built Different. This is going to be a fun and powerful series where we look at the lives of five different people in the Bible, and we'll look at how they had an impact on the people around them. Each week, we'll uncover what set them apart and how we can live different like them. And here's the best part. This series is taking place church-wide. So kids, youth, and adults will all be hearing the same messages each week. So please grab one of those invite cards next to you on the pew and invite some families you know to come to church with you. And as always, for more information or if you have any questions, please visit the Welcome Center in the lobby. Our team will do the best they can to answer your questions. Now, let's prepare our hearts and minds as we get into the Word, kicking off our new series, Built Different.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Good morning, church. Okay, so that was our first Sunday of Church News. Did you like getting some information? I thought it was a little bit better, amen? Here's what happens. Announcements are so important. But everyone's busy getting their own stuff done on Sunday. So if we don't put it in a place where we all come into the same place and sit down, it gets away from us and then we forget. I know my life has 1,000 things going on. So in order to plug this in, we try to do this so that you know what's happening in your church. Amen? All right, it's good to be here. All right, so just a quick reminder before we get into this today. We are smack dab in the middle of believing God to pay off the church debt supernaturally. Amen? Out front, there is a thermometer guide that we're all watching go up, but the debt is coming down every week. And I'm very excited about this number. But this week, I want to tell you what the new number was. Starting at $425,000, we are now down to $253,653.96. It's a good number. Amen? Eradication of this debt is so important. And I heard this said when Ashley and I were following a guy. She wrote this down for me, and it just made sense. When you take the debt away, there is an acceleration of the vision of the church that can happen because we're not living to pay off this building's debt. We are now living fully in order to embrace what God's called us to do, and we need to use every dime towards that, right? Amen. Only Believe, I want to remind you before we start that you are a holy people. You are set apart for His use. And you, please the Father when you use your faith. Jesus Christ is who we put our faith in. He had victory over death, hell, and the grave. And when you and I believe that same death, hell, and the grave, we have a transformation of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and then we too are dead to ourselves and resurrected through Him. Amen? This is how we live our lives. Ava and Caleb told us where we were going this morning in this series, but I want to tell you where the series idea came from. This idea came from a generation that's saying, I'm built different. Now, this might come from a teenage high school kid making a three-pointer, and after he makes the three-pointer, he points up, I'm different! Now, obviously, that comes from a place of confidence, maybe just a little bit of pride, some arrogance mixed in there if he's a teenager, right? But it's a place of confidence that said, I'm unusual. I'm not ordinary. I'm extraordinary. And this is a good thing. And this is why we're doing this across the board, because this resonates with our kids. This resonates with our college kids. And believe it or not, after doing a study on it, it really resonates with my heart. Sometimes the world teaches us to build on things like talent. That's where it originally comes from. I'm like, look at me. I'm so unique. I'm so different. Fame. Fortune. I've got more than everyone else. I can do it better. I know what's right. Knowledge. Oh, how about that person? They go for their little bachelor degree and then their next degree and their next, and then they come out, they're a doctor. And now there's like five lines behind their name of all their achievements. In my family, we call that the name disease. Because they have to tell you all their names before they get to introduce themselves. Why? Because they take value in the knowledge that they've increased in. Some of us get value from our family and how functional it is and how perfect it is. Be real with you, we all know it's not perfect, right? We just spent the entire month learning about imperfect families. But the word specifically tells us to not build on these things. Don't think that your life is good if it's wrapped up in talent, fame, fortune, knowledge. 1 Corinthians 3, 10, and 11 tells us to be careful what you build upon. For no one can lay a foundation other than the one that is already laid. Which is, it tells us what the foundation is, Jesus Christ. And those who build their life on Christ and everything that they live through on Him first, then on top of all the other things, those are the ones that will be rewarded. It's going to stand the test of time. See, all those other things are going to shake. You can't take your riches with you. I'm going to hear you out. You can't take your family with you. Moms, do you know that? Dads, do you know that? You can't make the choices for your children. They get to a certain point that they make their own choices, and they choose whether they stand before God and hear, well, good, done, and faithful servant, or turn from me, you workers of iniquity, I know you not. All those things get burned up, but the things we build on Jesus stay. I want to remind you today that the more I read about the scripture, I found out that you and I really are built different. We really are. So I'm going to prove it. Let's go to 1 Peter, the second chapter, verse 4 through 9. Verse 4 through 10. And actually, just let me give you a little preface here. There is one thing that never returns void in this life. And that is God's word. And so when I say we're going to read 4 through 10, that's probably the best part of the message today. Not what Pastor Nicole says, because that's not guaranteed to not come back and return void. When I speak the word, it's the only thing that is guaranteed in your life to deliver what it said it would deliver. So, do we read scripture in our service? Yes, a lot of them. Okay, so let's read. Okay, it says, there. Let me get my glasses on, because this could be ugly if I don't. I miss words. As you come to him, the living stone, this is talking about Christ, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, for in the Word, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious, but to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone and a stone that causes people to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. Oh, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of the darkness and into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are a people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. See, when you and I were saved, we were immediately joined to Christ, just like a living stone. He was a stone, then because of him and the price he paid, we accepted him. Now we are joined together with Christ, not to build our own lives, but to be built in joining with him. Right? It says he was the cornerstone. Do you know what a cornerstone of a building is? It's the sure one. It's the one that sets the way for the others. And we connect. But what happens when I build my stone on something that's not solid? Then I affect everyone else around me. But when I build upon Christ, my foundation becomes sure. And then whoever hears what I have to say that Jesus said to them builds on top of that, on top of that. We are creating the church. You're a stone, you're a stone, you're a stone, you're a stone. But he is our foundation. So it makes you build differently because you're not building on things that are sinking. But for those that accept his salvation, that's all great. But for the people that don't accept Christ, it says that he offends them. He's not a cornerstone in their life. They're not something that he joins to, but they're something he trips over. You've all met that person that you mention the name of Jesus and immediately, oh, I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear anything about Jesus. I will tell you that if that's what you hear from them, don't cast your pearls before a swine. Allow them their room. God's working. He'll work on their heart till one day they don't reject it. But when they reject it and you try to cram it down their throat with a gun stoke, trying to put the powder in so you can shoot, it's not going to do anything but cause more harm. Amen? Let's go to Luke 6, 46, 49. Another great one about building. It says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not know what I say? As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. In other words, I'm going to show you the people that listen, that hear me and do what I say. Let me show you what their lives look like. They are like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid a foundation on rock. And when a flood came, the torrent struck that house, but could not shake it, because it was well built. It was built different. But the one who, like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation, the moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed, and the destruction was complete. See, it's necessary for you and I to understand that we are built different not just because we are saved or chose by Christ or that we chose him, but it's because we hear his word and we do it. The word describes later in Scripture, don't be a hearer of the word only and not a doer. Hearing and doing go together. So just accepting Christ as a personal Savior does not mean that you are built different. It means you've been saved. Now you can be built up differently than the world. I'm gonna be honest with you. I know a lot of people that begin Christianity, but they don't hear and do anything that his word says. I'm here to tell you, that's not enough. That's not a true follower of Christ. If you're truly following after Christ, then Christ is in you. And if he's in you, then it's not working if the you is ugly that's coming out. There's a process of a sanctification that's taking place in our lives. Amen? It's the being built up differently. But as we're in the building, there's a constant yielding to the Holy Spirit if we want to remain different. Or we can just fall into what society says is a good person and say we're Christians. That's not what the Bible says is built different. Those who hear and do my word. See, by faith we do. When we hear what's happened in the word, when we see it, it goes in through our ears, goes into our heart, and begins a transformation by the work of the Spirit. When that change begins, it causes you to act differently. Did you hear me? It causes you to act different. That's faith. And because I believe what God's word says, that was a bug. Because I went, woo, I didn't know it. It's springtime. Praise the Lord. I'm excited about spring. I just want to say, I cleaned my entire garage on Friday. I poured bleach all over the floor. I got the hose out. I put on the hot water. And then I thought, oh, it's going to freeze again. Now what? So I put the hose back up so Randy wouldn't know, and I hung it up there, and I turned off the water, and I'm thinking, what if there's water in those lines? Some houses get through without cracking those pipes, right? My point is, is there something in our lives that we're looking at? You know, Ashley was so on point. Ashley didn't read my notes this morning, but she knew what the service was going and what it was. She was already starting to perceive by the Spirit what's happening. What in your life have you called unredeemable? What have you said that is unsavable? What have you given hope upon? Because if we're truly built different, then we believe what the word says. We hear it and we act upon it in faith. Amen? I don't care if it's the trial that comes. Your entire family is on the struggle bus. It's like they all got a ticket. You're all on the same family bus and it's going nowhere fast. It's savable. Why? Because we trust in his word and take action upon them. We don't break down. We don't back down. We don't hide from the enemy. We don't watch our words because he might hear what we're saying. Have you ever heard somebody say that? Well, I don't want to say that too loud. The devil might hear me. You have victory over the devil. Let him hear you say it. He's fearful of the God that is with you, the Christ that is in you, and the Holy Spirit that gives you the power to walk it. He's scared to death of you. So much talk about the devil and the demons and the demonic power right now. Whoop! Not a problem. You shouldn't be walking around in fear of a generational curse that your father had and say, now that's mine. No, it's not. If you've been born again, then the old man is done away with and the new one is put on. And who I am today is not who my parents were, but I am in Christ. I am a new creation from the ground up. Now, either we believe it or we struggle with it. And if we struggle with it, then you need to be back in the prayer line to rebuke the generational curse. But I'm going to remind you that when you became new, all things, it didn't say all but your bloodline, all but what you've been put through, all but where you've been in this life, all has been made new. So I'm walking by faith towards all things that are made new, no matter what the circumstance looks like. No matter the circumstance that I just got angry and flipped my lid like my father used to. That's not true. That's not the way I work. But I'm using this as an example. Not true. Repent. Ask God to help you through it. Get yourself some promises and start standing on the written word of God and begin to see yourself through the promises as the new creation. And live like so. I know that sounds easy. It's not always that easy, but it sounds easy. Let's go to Numbers, the 13th chapter. This is the majority of where we're going to stay today. And I'm going to skip around for the sake of time in Numbers because of, there's that pencil. You know, I blame it on children, but I can't blame everything on them. All right, 13, 1 through 3. And we're going to talk about a story that's very close to my heart. I love this story. In the word, it says, the Lord now said to Moses, send out men to explore the land of Canaan and the land I'm giving to the Israelites. Now, mind you, this was prophesied back to Abraham that the land was. God told Abraham, go to a land that I will show you. Leave your mother and your father and go. Abraham didn't ask questions. Abraham packed up his whole family and said, let's go. They said, where are we going? He said, I don't know, to a land God said he'd show us. By faith, Abraham set out to execute that which God asked him to do, right? By the way, sometimes when God doesn't give us the details, you and I need to pack up our bags, pack up our family, and do exactly what he says to do, even though we don't have a clue where we're going. Sometimes that's harder than it seems, but the idea that we get to negotiate with God when he asks us to do something, that we get to set parameters, well, when you tell me this, I'll do that. I don't know about you, but I feel like there should be a little bit more of the fear of the Lord inside of our hearts, that a man, that literally God who created man could burn us all up in a second if he wasn't bound by his word. Maybe that fear would put us on play a little bit. So Moses did send one leader from each of the 12 ancestral tribes. So Moses did as the Lord commanded him. He sent out 12 men, all tribal leaders of Israel, from their camp in the wilderness of Paran. Moses, the second leader. Abraham's gone. Abraham didn't see the possession of what his people thought. Abraham died not receiving the promise in full. He received the son that God told him he would receive. But there was more to God's promises that he told Abraham, and he didn't. But Moses picks up where he left off and says, I'll lead the people into the promised land. Wasn't quite that easy, but he said that. Keep in mind, these men were not just regular men. They were already men that were in great standing. They were men of authority. They had skill. And they were already standing out above the others as leaders, right? I think that's important that we state that. And here's the thing. They went out for 40 days on this journey. 40 days. They were going to go into the land that God had promised them and scope it out and come back and tell Moses what they saw. Let's go to the 13th chapter, 26 through 33. It says, they came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert of Paran. Then they reported to them and to the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. They gave Moses this account. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. And here's the fruit. They even bring the fruit. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites live near Negev, something. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites live in the hill country, and the Canaanites live near the sea and along the Jordan. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we can't attack those people. They're stronger than we are. And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, the land we explored devours those who live in it. All the people we saw there are great size. We saw the Nephilim there. The descendants of Anak come from the Nephilim. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes. And we looked the same to them. Now I'm going to tell you that this report was bad, not based on truth, but based on the perception of the people going in. They gave a report of fear and defeat. How many of you have received a bad report in your life? There's not one of you in here that hasn't. Of something, whether the little red number comes back on your bank account, you know, that -$3.12, and you don't get paid till Friday, and then they give you $20 in your account that's on loan with interest because you got overdraft protection. Overdraft protection is just another way for them to make money off you. The fact is that you needed it. That's a bad report. What is that? The enemy coming and saying, you don't have enough to pay your immediate needs. Now, you can believe that report. And you can get all fearful, and you can be defeated, and you can go around poor mouthing and say, yeah, I don't get paid until Friday, and I just got nothing in my account. Man, I just don't know. I don't know if I'm going to make it. I don't know how I'm supposed to live a better life if I can't get ahead. Or you could look at that and say, you know what, Lord? I speak to that account in the name of Jesus. And you know what? I don't know how. I don't know when. But I'm a tithe payer. I'm a giver. I obey your word. And I know that you said you would open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing upon me that I cannot contain. And I know that Chase Bank is lying when it says I got $2.61 negative. Now, you might think I'm crazy. But I'm looking at that bank account by faith. And I'm not saying I go out and spend $100 that I don't have by faith asking God to cover it. What I'm saying is I'm being faith-filled when I look at the giant staring me on those papers. And when my bills don't equal up what I need, I'm going to pay what's necessary. And then I'm going to ask God to take care of the rest. And you've got some bills and I need some help. That's faith. That's faith. Let's go on to the 14th chapter, 5 through 9. It says, then Moses and Aaron fell face down in front of the whole Israelite assembly gathered there. Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had explored the land, tore their clothes and said to the entire Israelite assembly. Now, I don't know what this means. Other than the fact, I'm sure it got everyone's attention. Like if I came up here and started just rending my clothes and ripping, I'd get your attention and be like, Pastor Nicole's on fire today, something's wrong. He was intense. And he says, they tore their clothes and said through and explored is the land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. And if the Lord is pleased with us, what pleases the Lord? Pastor Randy touched on it in the offering today. He said, faith pleases God. And if we, oh my gosh, and if he is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord. In other words, do not disobey. Do not relinquish your faith. Do not doubt in the God that said he would give us the land. Don't you see it's filled with everything he said? And you're letting fear and doubt take it from you. He said he'll lead us into that land flowing with milk and honey and give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord and do not be afraid of the people in that land, because we will devour them. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. You know, this is the report of faith. The Amplified Version, some of you might have the Amplified Bible or the King James Version. I learned it as a kid that literally Caleb and Joshua stood up and said, don't you understand? They're bread for us. We will eat them. Today we dine. Don't you get it? This was like their rant to say, come on, Israel, stop disbelieving what the word of our God has said. Do you not remember he crossed us over the Red Sea and splitted it and parted it for you and I? Delivered us from our enemy. Would he not, the land that he's promised us? We're almost there. Let's go. They saw it differently. They saw it differently. They gave a report of faith. Go to 14:23 and 24. It says, not one of them will ever see the land I have promised on oath to their ancestors. This is the Lord speaking himself. No one has treated me with contempt will ever see it. But because my servant Caleb has a different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly, I will bring him into the land he went to, and his descendants will inherit it. Caleb and Joshua had a different spirit. They had a different attitude about the whole show that was going down. I don't know if you counted how many. There were 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 spies. David, what's the math on that? 18%? 17%? Of those people saw differently. Church. 2, 4, 6, 8. Paul and Luann, right from here forward, out of all these people, two saw the way Christ said they could see. Two believed in the word of God. Two truly by faith walked in what God wanted them to walk in. I ask you today, what side are you on? Do you believe that you are built different? Or you do walk according as you are built like everyone else? Because I'm telling you, that's the difference between the winners and the ones that just get by. Either we believe what God's word said. See, it's not just an attitude. It's not just a worked up arrogance. It's an inward knowing of God's character and his ability to deliver his people. It doesn't come from getting a bold, well, I'm going to work myself up today. I'm going to encourage yourself in the Lord. Yep, you can do this. You're everything you thought you are. You know what? You've been, yep, you got it. You got it. You've studied those books. You know those self-help books have really helped you with your confidence, and your insecurities are down, and you just got to stand up in the face of danger and tell them. That's not what this is. See, I've been bought by the blood of Jesus. And the blood of Jesus did something for me that I could not do for myself. I didn't deserve it. I didn't earn it. He simply gave it to me. And because he gave me this new life, and because his blood washed my sins free, I now start to walk in a new place. I start to walk in a confidence that says, I am who he says I am. I am a daughter of the Most High God. I do trample over demons and the enemy. I can take care of the devil and sickness. Sickness, did you hear me? I resist the devil and he will flee from me. Why? Because there's a newfound confidence, because I'm not built like someone that just gets through this life. I'm built different because I know what Christ has done for me. And I build on that solid foundation and I start to live my life accordingly. Is Dennis here today? Dennis and Anna? Any in the house? Yes. No, not that Denny. There's a Dennis, and he happens. Do I have anyone that lifts weights? Give me a weightlifter. Come on. Come on up here. Now, I'm just going to say this. Here, I'm even going to help him out a little bit. I don't want to think I'm bigger than you. Okay. Look at the difference in us. Who's built different? Who would you want to help you move your furniture? Stop. Get out here. It's obvious that he is built different. Why? He lives differently than I do. How many times are you in the gym?
Less than I want to be.
2 times a week. Guess how many times I'm in the gym? I don't even have to give you a number. You're laughing. What I'm trying to show you is you know it. You know people that are built differently. You see them when they live their life a different way, and they're truly taking faith and accepting it and looking through the eyes of God into a situation. Don't get me wrong. When you look into the eyes of what's happening in your life, and when you see things that are wrong, it's not that you're avoiding those things. It's that you're not giving weight to the giant. You're giving weight to the giant killer. Do you realize that all throughout the Bible, we have Jehoshaphat built differently. Who in the world says, hey, we're going into a war right here, and there's these two armies, and they're converging, and they're going to join powers against us, but I got a new idea. We're going to take all the people that sing and play instruments, and we're going to put them out there first. Who does that? Someone who listened to the word of the Lord that he spoke. He said, here's what you're going to do. You're going to put the worshipers out first. You're going to put the praisers out. And when you do that, when you listen to what I'm doing, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to defend you. Jehoshaphat sends out the worshipers. I don't know what worshiper would have been stupid enough to go out there. Like, I'm really loyal to a king, but are you kidding me right now? I'd be like, are you sure you heard from God? The good thing was the entire army with Jehoshaphat fasted and prayed. And they went and heard the word of the Lord. They didn't just hear it. They heard it and did it. They heard it and acted upon it. How about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? How about them? Who says, you know what? I'll tell you what. We're not bowing to no little idol you put up there. But let me tell you something. He said, well, we're going to have to throw you in the fire then, because this is what our requirements are. And he said, then throw us in the fire. We know our God is able to save us. But even if he don't, we ain't bowing. Let me tell you something. When's the last time you and I started talking some smack to our enemy? Because I know a bunch of teenagers that get in a game and they're fighting around and they're talking smack, and it's built on the confidence they have in the work they've put in. You know, I don't even know if Lincoln's here today. I'm going to tell a little basketball story on Lincoln. We were in junior high and I was keeping score. I was over this little book and he came home, and I'm just going to tell you, Lincoln was not aggressive at all. I was a basketball player. Randy was a soccer player. So I just got through that year. It was terrible. I was keeping book with my head down just like this. So I didn't even have to look up. And the girl at the table, she's like, who's your kid? And I'm like, Oh, you know, they're such a good team. Look at all those boys playing out there. Anything I could not to talk about his number. Anything. And I don't mean that bad. Well, the next year, Lincoln comes up to me. He said, Mom, I don't think I'm going to play ball this year. I said, okay, yeah. Your dad and I'll support whatever you choose. And I'm thinking, thank God. That was awful. That was awful. Well, the next year, freshman year, Mom, I think I'm going to play ball. The coach really needs me to play ball. I said, oh, really? Are you sure that's a good idea? He said, yeah. I said, okay, sit down, son. We're going to have a talk. I said, you let someone push you around on that court like you did when you were in junior high, I'm going to come out there and beat you like a mama beats her boy. And I'm going to tell you, you better get aggressive out there. Quit making me look dumb. I know it sounds like an awful parent, but my name was Scrappy on the ball. That meant on the ball court, if there was a ball rolling, I was on it. I was at the bottom of that jump high pile. I was on the bottom. And then they would substitute someone in for me because I couldn't jump because I was a little short girl, right? And Ginger always got the ball. The point is, that boy in a game began to get so aggressive. He came home and I said, Mom, look, I got blood. I'm like, that's good. Now you're boxing out under that rim. You best get in there and get the ball. And he's like, Mom, but I'll get a foul. I said, you get five of them, only get four. And make them count. Make them count. One day in the middle of a game, Randy and I were there. And he was backing up underneath that court, right underneath that rim, and he was pulling down all kinds. Well, they started double teaming him. And one of these kids got Lincoln's arm ripped underneath his arm and flipped Lincoln up on his back and threw him on the floor. And Rand jumped up like, what's going on? I'm like, yeah! And he's like, what is wrong with you? I said, he's aggressive. He's making a difference in the game. He was being built different. He wasn't letting people push him around no more on the court and take the ball. Everyone else is swinging elbows until the ref calls it, swing your elbows. Some of us need to get aggressive in the game of God and say what's mine is mine and I'm going to the basket to get it. This little passive Christianity that says, oh, it looks too, oh, they're big. I don't know. Yeah, man, it'd be so nice to eat those grapes. It'd be so nice to have that milk. Oh, that honey, look, it's dripping over there. You can sit on the sidelines, or you can get up and by faith begin to possess your promise. David looked at the giant, not prepared to fight, bringing cheese and wine to his brothers. They're like, what are you doing here, you little scroungy thing? Go back and keep sheep. He's like, what y'all doing? Why are you letting that big uncircumcised Philistine talk to you like that? Don't you know the God we serve? He had to be thinking this. You're the army and I'm just the shepherd boy and you're letting him talk to our God like that and make him look goofy? Men were losing their lives because of fear. Their hearts were failing them. Can you imagine being so scared that your heart failed? David's like, what's in this for me? Like, you get a girl. He's like, I'm in. What was David saying? David was saying, I'm telling you right now, the God that I know, when I sit in that field, I saw a lion come. He delivered me from the mouth of a lion. I was held down and held captive, and he came and rescued me. And when a paw of a bear came at me, the size of, have you ever seen a waist, the bear, a paw of a bear? I promise you it takes my whole waist. The whole size of who I am is this bear's paw. He said, and I've been delivered by that. Surely he'll deliver me from you. You come at me with a sword and a spear, but I'm coming to you. Yeah. With five stones, and I'm going to run right to you. Why did he have five? Because there were four giants behind him. Do you know what they did in Israel? If you've been to Jerusalem, there's these little cubby holes in the outside wall so that all the people that look at Jerusalem can tell what they've slain. And David brought that head back, and he put it in that hole. And he went, there's who I got. And then I'm going to go get your other brothers. I'm going to put them in that hole, that hole, and that hole, and that hole. And I'm going to remind you that God is greater than any Nephilim and any giant out there. And for those of you demon hunters, the Nephilim are dead. You have power over them. There's no spirit, because it's taller in the natural, that has a power over the name of Jesus. Cut the head off of that demonic power and hang it up on your front door. And say, watch this. I no longer am privy to the spirit of lust, the spirit of greed, whatever spirit you want to call it. Call it whatever you want. I don't care. Cut it off and don't live in its power anymore. Amen. Man, I got worked up preaching that message. Woo! It's time some of us begin to talk trash to our enemies. Amen. Praise the Lord. Here's our action point. We got to have an action point because we got kids involved. And I say this to all you parents, grandparents, sisters, brothers, if you're in here, your kids are hearing the same built different message. They're hearing the same thing about faith, that faith sees differently because Joshua and Caleb saw it different. What God had said and acted on it, they received the promised land. All the other ones, if you were over the age of 20, you didn't get to go into the promised land. For some of us elders, I should say something. Do you know we can get so set in our ways that we start to see things only the way we see them, and it'll stop us from possessing the very promise that God's already given us. That's tough. That's tough. I'm in my 50s. I get it. Through the eyes of a child. Faith, childlike faith. We got to find a promise that goes with our problem. I'm going to just take 30 seconds. If you're sick in your body, you need a promise about healing. If you got financial destruction, problems, want, lack, hundreds of scriptures in the Bible about lack and how God's our provision. You got a wayward child, get a scripture. Why? Because I'm telling you that you need an action point. This scripture is the word of the Lord. Now it's you and I's job to act on that word and to stand on that word. And every time you and I have a thought that goes against that word, we are to pull it back and put it in the submission of God. We're to pull that word that the devil lied to us about, stomp it on the ground, say, I don't receive that in the name of Jesus. This is what the word says about my son that is wayward. And pull it back. That's your action. But if you never go to the word and get the scripture, there is no action. So you can't use my scripture. Because that scripture ministers to my heart. I believe that. You got to find your own. No one can go dig it out for you. And you think there's some easy way to get here. There isn't. The reason Joshua and Caleb were different is because they knew the word of the Lord. And they knew what God had said to their ancestors. They knew what they said to their parents, their grandparents. And I'm like, I don't know who you think you are, but they're bread for us. Let's go. You need an action point. We're done. You can close your Bible. Some of us here today are in the need of healing. I brought this up. I feel that God wants to do something special today. And you've gotten a bad report. I don't know what this report is. It could be anything from you have a chronic illness, you have inflammation all over your body. You know, inflammation hides like hundreds of diseases. I don't even know what the common number is now. You can't even keep track with the newest disease they find. Some of you have gotten a bad report that your job, maybe your boss is shutting down, closing shop, and you're going to need to find a new job. Some of you might be without a job, and you're looking for a job. Here's what I know. If you look at anything in your life, and it's not good, God's not done. God's not done. And you need a word from God on that situation. Families need restored. Wives brought back to church. husbands reignited with God, to find passion and fire again. God's here in this house today to do a work. He wants to heal the brokenhearted. Stand to your feet if you would. You know, Brother Osborne used to say something, and this is one of the closest things to Randy's heart. He reminds himself before he goes overseas that if you speak the word, salvation comes and healing comes. The Bible says that he sent his word and healed them. I want you to put your hand on the part of your body that's sick today. If it's your mind, if it's your heart, if it's you got inflammation in your bowel, we don't care. Just put it right on her. In agreement, the power of agreement, we're going to pray. And we believe when we pray that God not only hears us, but when we pray in faith, he answers our prayer. Is that not what the word says? Then we, being built different, are going to take care of this together as a family. So, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I speak to every ailment. I speak to inflammation. I speak to cancer. I speak right now to every incurable disease. I speak to discomfort in someone's body. I see discomfort in something. It's not been diagnosed yet. There's discomfort. God says, I'm going to take care of the real issue that's happening in that area. I take authority over high blood pressure, heart disease, mental illness. Right now, devil, I command you to release your grip upon these people in the name of Jesus. The Bible says that if we resist you, you will flee. Now, devil, we serve you notice that we are built differently. We are God's children, and we have been promised help and healing. And we receive it emotionally, physically, and spiritually today in the name of Jesus. Now, I want you to take an act of faith. Those of you, I see someone with a knee problem right now. I see you moving it. I see you moving it. If that's you, start to do something that you couldn't do. Why? Because that's your faith in acting what you heard from the word. Come on, is there someone in here with that knee problem that says, Pastor Nicole, it's better. It's better. Oh, right here on the second row. It's better. It was stiff before. That's God doing something in you to show you, wait. That's the beginning of what he'll do for everything else in your life. He doesn't say yes in one area and no in another. He says yes. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's good. That's good. Hallelujah. Is there anyone else that says, I received a nodal miracle right now? It's better. Yes, knee right here. Better knee. Anyone else? Anyone else in this house? Yes, I see you back there. Yes. Praise the Lord. God just, look at that. Guys, we didn't beg. We didn't grovel. All we did was look at it the way God saw it and call it to be. It takes nothing to get rid of the devil but the simple name of Jesus. Now, I'm going to tell you, you want to keep healing, then you resist the devil. See, the devil comes back. It says that he leaves for a while, and then he comes back. And he tries to lie to you. He tries to tell you that it's not going to be okay. He tries to tell you that you're not going to make it. That's not true. He's a liar. You understand that. He's a liar. And you're going to resist those thoughts. And God has a better way for you. And it is health. And it is healing. And it is a functional family. And it is love. It is goodness. It is kindness. Hallelujah. Now, just as God brings supernatural healing, I'd like every eye closed and every head bowed in this house today. Who would we be if we did not give the option for people to receive Christ? Maybe you're here today and you're like, Pastor Nicole, I haven't been living a good life. I read this scripture, and this is your scripture right now. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever would believe upon him shall have eternal life. He did not come into this world to condemn it, but he came to save it. If you're here and you're feeling condemnation, God's here to save you. That's the world's way. God's way is to love you back home, to get you to come into his home. And then later the Holy Spirit will convict you. But he doesn't condemn you. All of us have been in this place at one time or another in our lives. We've all had to come forward and accept Christ. I'm asking that if you're in this house today and you want to make Jesus as your personal Savior, that you would just lift your hand. Let me know that's you today. Let me know that you're in the house and you want to make it right with Christ. The greatest miracle of all is salvation. That he would buy me back, that he would pay my ransom. Is there anyone from stage right to stage left, anyone in this house? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you. Well, church, I believe we've done what the Spirit of the Lord wanted us to do today. You know, there's altar workers down here from our prayer team. They're here at the altar and they're here to pray with you afterwards. If there is somebody in this house, I just feel in my spirit there's someone here that's not saying yes. If that's you, our prayer team's down here. Just give your life to Christ. They'll bring you to Pastor Randy or I and we'll welcome you into the family. But there's nothing like saying yes in front of your entire family. Hallelujah. Father, we just come before you in the name of Jesus. We lift our hands up to you this morning. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the word of the Lord that you brought forth. Father, I thank you that it goes forth and brings a transformation in our lives. God, I thank you that you would touch our eyes with newness, Father. Newness, Father. Reignite what our eyes see, Father, that we would see it through the eyes of Christ. God, that we would see our situations differently. God, give us the spirit of Joshua and Caleb. Father, let us look at things different. When someone gives a bad report, let us see and hear the report of the Lord. Father, let us see the enemy for what he really is. Father, for we made him too big. The Bible reminds us when you get to heaven, you'll look at him and you'll say, "That's what tormented me." Devil, we're not afraid of you. And we're definitely not afraid to talk smack. Because I'll tell you right now, you are bread. You are bread for the believers at Only Believe. We're not afraid of what the devil can throw our way. Trial and tribulation, persecution shall come. But we shall stand by the strength of God. We will be victorious in this situation. We will stand the test of time. Our faith will make a difference. We will choose in the adversity to use our faith when it looks like it is hopeless. Our God says it is hopeful. We are that people. We are Only Believe. Now, Father, we thank you. Watch over us and keep us until we shall meet again and bring people into our path that we can share the gospel with, Father, that we can make a difference. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. And if you are in Growth Track, I will meet you over in, I think it's room 306 over here. And we're going to have lunch and we're going to talk to you about being members of our church. See you next week.